It's good to see everybody here. Please keep your Bibles open to the scripture reading this morning, if you would. Before we begin, I would like to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers, grandfathers, uncles, brothers, whatever, all the men of the congregation. Hope you have a wonderful day. Still kind of perplexes me. I haven't figured this out yet. On Mother's Day, we take the ladies out so that they don't have to do any work at home. No cooking, no washing of dishes. They get a day of ease. But I haven't figured out why, when it comes to Father's Day, we send Dad out to the barbecue grill and make him cook his own meal. Ain't figured that one out yet. This morning, we are going to be celebrating the greatest father that there is. We are talking about our Heavenly Father. And I would like for you to just kind of focus in on the words. I'm going to go back and reread, and then we will go through these three simple verses that describe God the Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God, through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Stop and think about that. Had a discussion with a former elder when I was in Arkansas, and he brought up the point, and I need to do a deeper study on it, the difference between blessed and blessed. We kind of go back and forth with that. But when we look at this word that is used in the text here, blessed, it comes from a root. If you understand anything about Greek in particular, I think Hebrew does the same thing. You have a root word, and if you change the ending or the prefix on it, it changes the tense or the person that it's attributed to. And so the root for blessed is to speak well of. Okay, and that's according to Strong's. Religiously, it's to bless, to thank, or invoke a benediction upon, a big quarter piece word there. Really, what it comes down to of is to be spoken well of. And another way we might put this, and it is used in Scripture, is to be worthy of praise. Do you think God, our Heavenly Father, is worthy of praise? I mean, when we stop and get down to the brass tacks of it, is he worthy to be praised? There's a lot of things that we often take for granted. We get into patterns, habits. I'm sure on the way coming to church this morning, most of you, as you were driving your vehicles, can't tell me whether or not you turned on your turn signal when you turned off in Ely's Bend into the parking lot, can you? Do you remember doing that distinctly? Some people don't use their turn signals in Tennessee. Some people never use them, and they go, no, I didn't turn it on. But some people who do use them, it becomes rote, and you don't think about it. You kind of take it for granted, don't you? How many individuals this morning got up and had themselves a cup of coffee? because it was like any other day. You got to have your coffee in the morning before you start your day off. Or taking medications. Anybody ever been in a situation where you can't remember if you took your daily meds? Did I take them this morning or did I not? Why? Because it becomes so ingrained in us, so habitual, and we take it for granted. You know, we have days like Mother's Day and Father's Day so that we actually go back and consider the things that they have done for us in our lives. Things that we take for granted. If you haven't figured out, I look back on my time with my dad and my mom they taught me how to love the Lord. I will say that about them. Dad was my greatest example for what I think the Heavenly Father is like. When I was a teenager, though, I took him for granted. I still, from time to time, take for granted all the lessons that he taught me. But as he gets older and I get older, the more and more my mind drifts back to those things. The more and more I want to pass on what I learned from him and what I picked up to my son and my grandsons. But don't we have a tendency to take people for granted a little bit? Do you think that we ever take God for granted? God is all loving. Everything should be good for us, right? But we take for granted that God is just. He cares for us. But he cares for us to want the best for us and not harm. He wants us to learn. So sometimes when he is disciplining us, when he is trying to teach us a lesson, we don't like that. We attribute it to something else besides God. Or we get angry with him. And sometimes we drift away from him. We forget all the things that he has done each and every day for us and for our benefit. He is worthy to be praised for all of this. And that's what we're going to look at in Scripture today. Just in these verses as we walk through it. Think about salvation. That in and of itself is the greatest reason that he is worthy to be praised. Because it's not something we could obtain ourselves. It's something he had to do. We should speak well of him. We should magnify his name. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 148. And the Psalms are filled with praise for God. But I kind of like this right here in Psalm 148, verses 1 through 14. I'm going to read it. My Bible has this titled as Praise the Name of the Lord. Stop and think about all the things that you see in here that God has done and why he is worthy of praise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly armies. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. They are to praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree and it will not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all the ocean depths. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds, fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, animals and all cattle, crawling things and winged fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, rulers and all judges of the earth, both young men and virgins, old men and children. They are to praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above the earth and heaven. He has lifted up a horn for his people. Praise for all his godly ones, for the sons of Israel and the people who draw near to him. Praise the Lord. Creation. I've always liked nature. I always like being outside and seeing things. Springtime is a wonderful time when everything is reborn and you see things. I looked out my window this morning, though. I saw a hummingbird. I love watching hummingbirds. Going from flower to flower to flower, looking out my window, and there it was. How can you look on something like that and think anything other than there must be a God? I remember a night that we pulled into Crown Point, New Mexico. When I was going through school, we were doing our mission week, basically, is what it was. And working with the congregation down there, and it must have been about 2 o'clock in the morning. And we had left from Denver and drove all the way there. Some of us were in shorts and short-sleeve shirts, not me, but some of the guys that were with us. And if you know anything about the desert, it can be blazing hot during the day, but at night it gets really, really cold. And we stepped out of the vehicle, and somebody said, "Hey, look up." And the stars in the heaven. See, you can't see that in Denver. There's too many lights. We looked up at the stars in the heaven in New Mexico, and you could see everything. Billions of stars. And the air was crisp and clean and cold. But we stood out there for about an hour, hour and a half. I don't know how you could look at something like that and come to any other conclusion than that there is a God. Anybody ever held a newborn baby? Man, little ones, they intrigue me. Nieces, nephews, grandbabies. Somebody in the congregation has a newborn. I just want to hold them. I like looking at the little tiny fingernails and those little bitty fingers. And think, I used to be that small. I'm not anymore, but I used to be that small. How can you look at such a life and not believe in God? He created us. He created all this wonderful beauty around us. He's worthy of praise. Revelation chapter 4, verses 9 through 11 is, in Revelation chapter 4, is the throne room scene of God, where you have the throne of God sitting in the middle of a crystal sea, surrounded by an emerald rainbow, and around the throne of God are 24 other thrones. Now, you have to understand that John is depicting in earthly terms something very heavenly. But upon the 12 or the 24 thrones are 12 representatives from the Old Testament for the tribes and 12 representatives for the New Testament representing the new kingdom or the completeness of God's kingdom. All these elders, all of these angels in heaven, they throw down their crowns and bow down before God. Notice what it says in verse 9. When the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne, and they will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created." Is God worthy of praise? He created everything. Now, most of us go, "Yeah, look how bad it is. I can't get over the fact that God created things." God didn't create things this bad. Man did that. Man corrupted it. But God created everything. Blessed be God. Worthy of praise is him. Great, or his mercy is great. We've talked about mercy before. We've talked about that before. Mercy is not getting what you truly deserve. What did Adam and Eve deserve when they disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden? Now, we might say they didn't deserve to die, but God said they did. And God is just. We don't deserve all the bad things that happen in the world today. We don't deserve... we don't deserve to be eternally separated from him for breaking his will. But that's what justice demands. But God is merciful. Some translations and of the word say compassionate. He's patient and long-suffering. He allows us the opportunity to repent. Great is his mercy. John chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. But as many as received him, to him he gave the right to become children of God. Notice he didn't say they became children of God. He gave them the right to become children of God. It kind of goes back with what we've been talking about on Wednesday nights about being given everything we need for life and godliness. You've been given the right, you can do it, but you still got free moral agency. Even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. How do we become children of God? How do we receive salvation? Is it through something we do? No. Because even though we're sinners, at the appropriate time, the text says, God sent forth his son, born of a virgin, so that we could have salvation. Did God need to do that? Did he have to do that? No. He did it because he has mercy and compassion. Great is his mercy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 23. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God. We can be born again. We don't have to continue in sin. We don't have to continue to suffer the wages of sin, which is death. Eternal separation from God. We can be born again to a new and a living hope. Is it through something that we did? Is it through some great act or plan that we had? No. It's through a plan that God had before he laid the foundations of the earth. He knew that man would sin. He knew that justice demanded death, eternal separation from the Father. He knew that men were going to choose to do the wrong thing. But he said, I'm going to make a way that they can repent of their sins, they can have their sins washed away, and they can return to me. It's not something that man did. It's something that God did. Tell me, is he not worthy of praise? We continue on in those verses and we find that there is an inheritance. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. I'm going to read 3 through 14. I really want you to focus in, and we'll take some time with verses 12 through 14. But listen to what Paul says in all of this concerning an inheritance. You know, an inheritance is something a father leaves for his children, right? Something that they have to look forward to. Paul says, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Because of the hope reserved for you in heaven, of which you previously heard the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world, also it is bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard about it, have not ceased praying for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. You notice in here there is nothing that says that man has come up with this plan, that man has earned anything. It's all what God has done and what God has provided. Verse 11, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all perseverance and patience, joyously Now let's get into 12 through 14. Joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Who qualified us? We did it ourselves? No. He qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us. We rescued ourselves? No. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us. We transferred ourselves? No. He transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Who's responsible for all of this? God is. Is God worthy of praise? When we go back to 1 Peter, we're to obtain an inheritance which is, number one, imperishable. Have you stopped to think about that word? Now, I have a nasty habit sometimes, and I have a feeling it's going to play out again this year, as it has so many times in the past. Everybody knows that I've been gardening. I'm expecting, hopefully, a very bountiful harvest if the Lord so blesses me. If I don't take that and do something with it and just stick it in the fridge, after a couple of weeks, it's going to be kind of stinky in there. Why? Because most of the stuff that I'm growing is perishable. Most of the stuff I want to save is going to start to rot and decay. Do you understand what imperishable means? Nothing can taint it. Nothing can destroy it. It's not going to disappear. It will always be fresh. Right? We have an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, perfect, without spot or blemish. Not only that, it will not fade away. As I get older, some of my memories start to fade away. Some of you probably understand that. You put paint on a house. You have a vehicle that sits in the sun too long. What happens? Oh, it was pretty that first day. That second day, it looked really nice, but you give it 5, 10 years exposed to the elements, 15 years, the luster begins to fade away. That'll never happen with the inheritance that's in heaven. It will never grow old. It will never lose its luster. And all of this is reserved in heaven for a very specific group of individuals, for those who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation to be revealed at the last time. It's reserved for his people, his church, his kingdom. Now let me ask you, since God provides all of this, here's the one question you got to ask yourself. Is he worthy of your praise? Is he worthy of your praise? And really, I should have thrown another question up there. How much of your praise Is he worthy of your praise just on Sunday mornings? Or just on Sundays? Or just on Sundays and Wednesdays? Or is he worthy of your praise each and every day of your lives? I don't know about you. For all that God has done and all that he continues to do, he is worthy of praise. And he deserves more than just one day a year or one day a week. Our Heavenly Father is worthy of praise all the time. We're going to offer an invitation. If you need to put on Christ in baptism, or you need to repent of some sin, if you have some need, we invite you to come forward as together we stand and sing.